Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Matthew, the 9th chapter, begin verse 35. I'll read through verse 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus told us that the harvest is plentiful, but those who labor in that are few. That's a statement about Jesus bringing others into this work of this covenantal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Today, the reality is that 75% of the people in our county today are staying home and not at worship. 75%. They're doing other things. Of that 75%, 50% of that group are of no faith, have no faith relationship in any religion or even Christianity. So 50% of our county is this group that Jesus is talking about, the harvest of this relationship into a kingdom of God. And only 25% of the county are active in church somewhere. Another 25 are baptized, but they're inactive, unchurched now. Yet we are each one called into this ministry and relationship with God in Jesus Christ. The amazing thing about God, as I reflect on ministry in all these years, is that when God wants to do something great in this world, the Holy One does it in a very singular way. God doesn't speak through thunderbolts, as you may hear this morning, or even earthquakes. God simply has a new baby born. Think about that. The great events of the world are not battles or elections, earthquakes, nor thunderbolts. The great events are babies. For each child comes with the message that God has not given up or discouraged with humanity. The Holy One still waits for goodness to become incarnate in every individual human life. In every child, there is that hope, the potential in every child in this world for that goodness. We as the church, we pray for every child, and it is our prayer as the church that every child will grow in wisdom and love and stature with God and their neighbors, and love to learn their neighbors and love their God. So happy Father's Day to all of you. Parenting is one of the most rewarding experiences, and yet at times challenging experiences you'll ever experience, and you're always a parent, always. I recall one day in a church office in another church, a man, a father, came into the office area and asked the assistant in the office, "I need to speak to the pastor." I heard that. My door was open, so I went to my door, and here was a member of the church, and he had by his had his son with him, had him by the shirt collar, and drug him in with a little best friend of his. They were fourth graders. The two boys were fourth graders. And brought him in frustration, said, "You can do anything you see fit with them." And he shut the door and left me with them. These two boys were wide-eyed. I said, "Come and sit down." I said, "There must be a story here. I've never seen your dad so frustrated." Never seen him that frustrated. And they began to tell the story. And they said, well, as we talked, they confessed up that 2 weeks before that, they had been in the gymnasium of the church, and they were playing basketball without adult supervision. Anyone under sixth grade had to have adult supervision in the church. They were in the gym, and they left the door open that's supposed to be shut. That's why the adults were in there, to keep the door shut. And this basketball, because the door was open, rolled down where the door wasn't shut, went down a hallway, went to the parlor of the church, and we had French doors with glass, and the ball just bounced into a window pane, and the boys ran. And we discovered the mystery in the church, and, you know, it happens a lot, so no big deal. But the boys had the guilt and the grief of that, and so eventually they confessed it to Dad and to parents. And when they did that, he picked the time that his little friend was with him, and the mom wasn't there, and he was just a child and the dad and a friend in the house. And the dad kind of asked more questions, and the son got scared, and he left the room, and Dad said, no, come back. And the kid ran out of the house, and the dad followed him outside. And then the child ran back in the house and locked the door. And the dad was getting madder by the minute. And after 30 minutes, he unlocked the door and let Dad back in. And so thus the reason they were in my office. And so I told the boys, don't worry about the glass. But the main concern is you and your dad. We need to work to get you back in on the same page, back into relationship with each other. And how are we going to do that? So we had a good long talk, fourth grade to a pastor, and it was a lot of love. They got back together quickly, but we were able to have fun with that. I sometimes suspend stories. I don't finish stories for you. So 2 weeks later, those same two boys were in the gym unsupervised again, and we could tell from the church office because the secretary called me and said, we have a camera. They didn't know was in there, and here are these two boys walking around the gym. And there's a rack of basketballs up on the shelf over there, and they weren't playing. But the youth director came in the office, looked at what we were looking at on the screen, and so when the boys left, they went and took a basketball off and put it right in the middle of the floor. It's kind of like the story of the apple in the Garden of Eden, you know. They put the basketball right in the center court. And the two boys came back in, they went to the bathroom somewhere, and there was the ball. They stood around looking at the basketball, looking around. We could see them on the camera. The youth director then left, and he went over into the gymnasium area, into the outer office, and we had a PA system. The boys didn't know there was a PA system in there. And then one of the boys picked the ball up, and you hear this boom, 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 boom. And the youth director in his low voice said, drop the ball. Poof. They disappeared. Poof. So anyway. So we can't raise your kids for you, but we will join as a church in partnership with you for every parent, single parent, couple. We will be with you in the faith character development with your child. We can't take your parent responsibility, but we'll come alongside you as a church and work with your children, your youth. Even as adults, we work together on this character disciple formation. That's what the church is, to love each other and to acknowledge and to act in ways that are forgiving and to always have grace and latitude to one another. When God looked at this world, God worked in the person of Jesus in villages and synagogues and temples and places of worship. And he healed the sick, cared for those that were ill and hungry. And the crowds, Jesus said, looked unsustainable. He had compassion for the people of God. And this compassion moved Jesus into not only loving, but to acting on their behalf. Jesus pointed to a new future home, a place and a time that we can all be together. And this reign of God, this kingdom of God, that we would all be included in it. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, yet those who labor in it are so few. When I think about five generations today in the life of the church, church today is so much harder than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. There were not five generations. It was simpler. It was just three generations or two generations in the church. We're living longer, and so, and yet with all the diversity of who we are, in this particular part of Arkansas. So much diversity and background. This, we are more like a Midwestern church than a Southern church. There's so many, when I just think about it, all the unique diversity backgrounds that we bring from all over the United States and the world itself. And we have our mission field. Our labor is in this county. Growing up in the southeast part of the state, in the Delta, the farming part of Arkansas, you may not know it, but in the agricultural areas, there's a group of individuals today now that are called custom harvesters. Custom harvesters. They are individuals, people professionally, who travel around the Midwest and the South, and they help farmers get their crops in. It's under contract. They bring their own combines, their own big equipment. And they each have their specialty areas, whether it's rice or soybeans or corn or whatever the harvest is. They are specialists in those areas. And they come in and help those farmers get that field harvested. Farms today are no longer those little small family farms. They're large farms, 1,000, 5,000 acres. And so there's not enough people hired in by that leased or farmed mortgage farm. So these contract people come in. And you would not have cereal this morning nor pasta at night if it were not for these custom harvesters to come in and help get the crop in the silos. That happens all over the United States. And yet there are so few of them. And just as we look at our work in this kingdom of God, there seems to be only 25-27% of us really actively doing this work for God. I don't think Jesus is looking today for a professional class of individuals. It seems to be that Jesus always said, hey, if you're alive and you're breathing, you qualify. And God will use whoever we are, not as professionals, but just as individuals in our unique way of your own personhood, your own personality, your own selfhood. God can use you in relationships with others to direct them to the work of God, to this work of being a parent, this work of seeing each child the potential, hopeful potential of goodness in every child, and to help that grow. When I think about Benton County, it's so diverse, yet we are a very fast-growing church these days in the fastest, youngest-growing area of the state. It is an exciting mission field to be in. When I think about this summer, I was just thinking about it. Our Vacation Bible School program coming up in July. Every day is working with our children the first time with them that it's going to be every day is a mission day, a different mission each day. And they will learn who is impacted, who is the result of that day of their study in the Bible and also their hands creating something to give away. So every day is unique. The only other church doing that is Church of the Resurrection, Kansas City. And I think they've heard about our work and are copying that. So we're not following them. They're following us this year. Care cuts happened this last Wednesday night. 16 persons came and transformation of just their image, their selfhood when they left. Eric is working with a group of our senior adults in our church, but also single parents, moms, single moms, on car repairs. And there's a group of you, maybe some of you in this room, that have a handiwork and mechanical understanding, and they're going to change tires and oil and help these cars be maintained. That's the summer. I think about our children and our youth, all the many different ways. Samaritan's Feet will happen in August when we give hundreds of pairs of shoes and school supplies as kids go back. That's just the summer work and much, much more that's being done by other individuals. Yes, you are making an impact, and in every one of those expressions of hand, from one hand to another, there is the possibility of relationships formed and characters being engendered. So in our work, you have to go where the crop is. In the harvest, the crop is here. One of the saddest things is ever to see a field ripe and ready for harvest, and there's no one to harvest it. Whether it's by flood, a field gets flooded, a rice canal or a rice field that gets blown down by a storm right before the harvest. It's sad to see that. It is sad to see God's people living life, but they don't know what life can be yet if we've not introduced them to God and Christ. So we have to have our target. We as God's people have to also have our goals. We're developing those goals with you in the context of today. We have to have a sustainability plan. Yes, each and every day, live in this day and this time is to depend on God for that daily bread. Yes, there will always be needs of resources for the church, and no matter what the time is, but there is that relationship of dependence upon God and God to supply the daily bread. And are we willing to risk? That's the greatest of all of these. Are we willing to risk to do what is right, to do the right thing in the most gracious, inclusive, understanding way to exhibit love? Love. It's an exciting time to be in the mission field, the Church of Jesus Christ. It's an exciting time to be here in the spiritual heart of Benton County. What God is looking for are some no-excuse harvesters like you yourselves who will answer the call and join as being co-workers with God. It's the greatest privilege. It's the greatest joy, even greater than being a parent. Be that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.